I better turn that on. I invite you this morning to take your Bibles and follow along as I read from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That's Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed to be heir of all things, and through whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. While God has chosen to reveal His will in different ways in times past, we know that God's final message He has chosen to reveal to us through His Son. That's what the essence of our reading says. But we want to notice that it is in the last days that He says He has chosen to do this. It is no surprise that we hear Jesus saying in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Mark records words from the mouth of the one through whom God spoke in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, where He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Since Jesus had to suffer and die and be raised from the dead and then ascend into heaven in order to make this salvation possible, He had to make provision for His apostles to be able to deliver His will to mankind. And this He did. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus tells the apostles, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth." Now, this was the fulfillment of what He had promised them back over in John 14 and verse 26, when He told them, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Notice, not only would the Holy Spirit teach them, but He would bring to remembrance the things that He said. Also in John 16, beginning with verse 13, "However, He, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said, He will take of Mine and declare it to you." So, here we have it. Christ promised that the apostles would have the Holy Spirit guide them into all truth. And the things He told them would, in fact, directly come from the Father. Now, these passages contain the basis of the kingdom of God as it exists today. This is basic. And they constitute the very basis for the Lord's church. They show us how the written word, as it was penned by inspired apostles, is in fact the very word of God by which we must direct our lives. So what do we conclude then? Well, we conclude that the New Testament is God's final message to mankind. He's not going to write another one or make a revision of it somewhere down the line, but this is His final message. And as such, it must be respected. Not only do we have the Word of Christ telling us in John 16:13, that the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth, but we find the Apostle Paul saying in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than which we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you receive, let him be accursed." Now, I want you to think about this with me. If someone preaches something that is more than what the Apostle Paul and other apostles preach, how are we to view them? Well, Paul very distinctly says, let him be accursed. And if someone preaches something less than what was preached by Paul and the other apostles, how are we to view them? I think you guessed it. Let him be accursed. John echoes these same thoughts when we see over in 2 John, verses 9 through 11, whoever transgresses or goes ahead and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now, transgress is to go against or go ahead. So, here's the doctrine of Christ. It means to go beyond it. Do something beyond it. Okay? Now, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ, what does that mean? That means he doesn't fall short of it or go beyond it. He stays right where it is. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. We can't give support to anything that is contrary to the doctrine of Christ, period. We just can't do it. Jude tells us in Jude, the third verse, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." Now, the Greek word "once for all" here is from the Greek word hapax, H-A-P-A-X, and it means literally once for all without need of repetition. He's talking about the gospel that had been delivered, the faith, been delivered once for all without need of repetition. Now, what about the term "the faith"? Well, people very often try to make this out to be my faith or your faith or someone else's faith. But "the faith" has a significance in the Scriptures that is peculiar to the Scriptures. "The faith" is describing the system of faith of which Paul spoke in Romans 16 and verse 25 and 26. "Now, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to revelation of the mystery which was kept back since the world began, but has now been made manifest by the prophetic scriptures and has been made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. You see how that can't possibly be my faith, your faith. It's talking about a system of faith. Notice in verse 25, Paul says he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the end of verse 26, he says the purpose is the obedience of faith. What do we conclude? The obedience to the system of faith that he's talking about, the obedience to the faith, is the same thing that he preached. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we said a moment ago that the gospel was delivered once for all without need of repetition. Now, let's look for a moment at God's final message to man. The final message contained, first of all, the thing to be preached. And of course, we understand that to be the gospel. But notice he said back in Mark 16 and down at verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say to go into all the world and discuss philosophy. He didn't go into all the world and discuss science. He didn't say to go into all the world and discuss literature or theology, nor did he tell him to go into all the world and discuss the traditions and commandments of men. What did Jesus tell them to go preach? He told them to preach the pure and simple gospel of Christ. But not only does the final message of God contain the thing to be preached, it contains what is to be done to be saved. According to the words of Jesus, and notice the words of Jesus, I think probably some of you are sitting there looking at it in red. The words of Jesus in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, tells them, first of all, they must believe the gospel preached. That is the first thing that must be done. And having believed it, they are to be baptized in order to be saved. Looking to the words of Jesus to his apostles soon after his resurrection, recorded in Luke 24:47, he said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Thus, we understand that believing, repenting, and being baptized are all included in what is to be done in order to be saved by Jesus Christ. And incidentally, this fits perfectly with what we read in Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, concerning Jesus Christ. What do we have here? He says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience to the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Now, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that in order for him to be the author of eternal salvation, that obedience is necessary. If we want to have Christ as our author of eternal salvation. In fact, notice what Paul wrote. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Notice he's talking about those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, here it is. To give us, or give you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's going to happen to them? These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's what God's final message to man says. But this final message also contains what must be done in living as a Christian. It doesn't just leave us flat and say, okay, here you are, you figure out how to do it from here on out. Notice in Matthew 28 and verse 20, Jesus told the apostles not only to baptize believers, but also to teach them. Teach them what? Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Why? Well, because he wanted them to observe these same things that the apostles were observing. And that means that following on, whenever he gave them this instruction to go teach, baptize, and teach, you're supposed to do the same thing. And then the promise, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So, whenever you read the New Testament passages today, what are we doing? Well, we're seeing the command carried out. Everything the apostles taught in the first century to do in worship and daily living as Christians was recorded for our benefit. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's the source. It is God breathed, literally. God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It all stands to reason that if the Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it would be perfect in every way. And it would be useful in every way. And it would indeed make the man of God thoroughly equipped for every good work. No doubt about it. But this message that we are talking about is a final message, and it's final for all people. Look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20 again. Jesus said, first of all, go into all the world. All nations are included. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, he said it was for every creature. And notice the duration of the final message was until the end of the age. Once again, in Matthew 28, and I see I must have skipped that one, but that's okay. Oh, yeah, back to Matthew 28 and verse 20. He says, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. Now, these are the last days, according to Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. Look at it carefully. God, at various times, various ways, spoken thoughts by the prophets, has in the last days spoken to us by his Son. if these are the last days, and it encompasses the days in which He speaks to us through His Son, then what is there to look forward to? No more. No more. This is it. This is it. God's final message is intended to last until the end of this, the last age. That's why we need to be aware of what it says, conscious of what it teaches, and do everything we possibly can to comply with it. You know, God addressed those that might come to you and say that they are His prophets and try to pervert the gospel. We noticed that Jeremiah actually made a warning in Jeremiah 23, verse 28. And he says, "The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord?" Now notice what he's likening. What is the chaff to the wheat? What do you mean? These fellows, they have a dream, I have a word. They're just chaff. Is not my word, says the Lord, like a fire? And is it like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one, from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them, and therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. Well, how can we know that a prophet is a false prophet? You know, we've had some of those in our own age, and in the ages just previous to ours, who came along and said they were prophets. They were prophets. But notice in Deuteronomy what God says. Deuteronomy 18, beginning with verse 20. The prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? Here's the answer. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. All modern day self-described inspired men who make prophecies that do not come to pass, and that teach things which are contrary to that which is found in the inspired Word of God, the New Testament, are false prophets and should be accursed. Simple. Now, question. Have you submitted yourself to God's final message to mankind? Have you been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you haven't, why not? Why not obey the gospel now and have the forgiveness of sins that only Christ can offer to you.